Take pride in your home with the new Swiffer Power Mop. The new Swiffer Power Mop gives you a mop and bucket clean in just half the time, leaving you more time to enjoy your home with the ones you love most. Swiffer is proud to sponsor iHeartRadio's Can't Cancel Pride 2023, an evening honoring the LGBTQ plus community and celebrating organizations creating a more inclusive and equal world. Learn more at can'tcancelpride.com.
That was a great dinner.
So great. Wait, where'd you park the car?
Oh, the one I just sold at Carvana.
What? When did you do that?
When you were still looking at the menu. I went on Carvana.com and all I had to do was enter the license plate or VIN, answer a few questions, and got a real offer in seconds.
They picked up the car already?
No, I parked around the corner. But they are picking it up tomorrow and paying me right on the spot.
Oh, no wonder you picked up the check.
Yeah, about that. Thought we were going halvesies.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
Take pride in your home with the new Swiffer Power Mop. The new Swiffer Power Mop gives you a mop and bucket clean in just half the time, leaving you more time to enjoy your home with the ones you love most. Swiffer is proud to sponsor iHeartRadio's Can't Cancel Pride 2023, an evening honoring the LGBTQ plus community and celebrating organizations creating a more inclusive and equal world. Learn more at can'tcancelpride.com.
Strike!
Tell me something I don't know, Ump.
Well, unlike that nasty curveball, there aren't any surprises when you finance your next car with Carvana. You get real terms personalized for you right in your strike zone.
Really?
Strike!
How am I supposed to focus when you're telling me about Carvana?
Well, Slugger, you gotta keep your eye on the ball. Just like you can keep an eye on your customized down and monthly car payments.
I can customize those?
He's out and on his way to finance his next car with Carvana.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today. We'll drive you happy at Carvana.
Everybody, I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NBA, the National Basketball Association. Coming up on this edition of the program, we'll recap Game 1 of the 2023 NBA Finals between the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets. So stay tuned. It should be a lot of fun. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with talking about Aaron Gordon. If you missed Game 1, let me tell you, the first quarter belonged to Aaron Gordon. Aaron came out blazing saddles in the first quarter. Nikola Jokic got off to a rocky start in the beginning, but hey, have no fear because Aaron Gordon was here. Aaron got off to a blazing start in the first quarter. He finished with 16 points, and then the remainder of the game, he contributed tremendously on the rebounding as well as on the defensive side. So people, if you know of Aaron Gordon, of course, his years with the Orlando Magic and being in the slam dunk contest and playing above the rim. But since he's been in Denver and even in the last couple of years in Orlando, he has improved his game, improved his shooting ability. He's also tightened up more on his defense. And, of course, his rebounding has always been solid. But, man, when Aaron Gordon got going in that first quarter, that set the tone for the remainder of the game for the Denver Nuggets. When Aaron got going, Nikola got going. When Nikola got going, Jamal, he got going as well, and also with contributions from Bruce Brown and Michael Porter Jr. as well. But Aaron Gordon set the tone, set the pace for Denver early on, and as they say, the rest was history. And Aaron handled his business, not just on the offensive side, but also making his presence felt where he made the difference, where it really mattered the most, and that was in the defense and the rebounding. My next storyline is going to be Nikola Jokic. Hey, listen, we know how talented the Joker is. It's no question. And certainly, as I said before, Nikola Jokic is a walking triple-double. And, hey, he displayed that in Game 1. 27 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. He joined Jason Kidd, who at the time was playing for the New Jersey Nets, as the only NBA players with a triple-double in their finals debut. So, hey, Nikola, continuing to make history, continue to add on to the accolades and the accomplishments that make him so great, and is going to continue to make him great for years to come. And certainly Nikola, once, as I mentioned earlier about Aaron Gordon, once Aaron got going, Nikola was able to get going and get his shot, get his rhythm going, also play his part on the rebounding side, helping out with second chance points, getting the crashing the boards on the offensive rebounds. Nikola was able to get going. So Nikola Jokic, again, had a triple-double with 27 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds, joining Jason Kidd, who at the time he played for the New Jersey Nets as the only NBA players with a triple-double in their finals debuts. So again, Nikola Jokic, hey, the best just continues to get better, and the two-time league MVP handled his business, and he got going to help Denver secure game one. And for my last storyline, I want to talk about the Miami Heat. So in this game, Miami had such difficulty knocking down their shots. Max Strus was cold. Duncan Robinson couldn't find his shot. Turnovers were galore in this game. Jimmy Butler, he couldn't get going. But if there were any bright spots for the Miami Heat, Bam Adebayo. Bam got going in this game, and he never stopped. He had a double-double with 26 points and 13 rebounds. So Bam was really the catalyst for this game. He provided the offense in this game alongside Gabe Vincent and his long-range shooting. And then Hayward Highsmith coming off of the bench and his long-range shooting helped Miami to have a competitor's chance in game one. But if Miami wants to come out on top in game two, they got to have not only Bam Adebayo to continue to be aggressive on the offensive side and have Gabe Vincent do his thing, but they got to get Max Strus hot early. They got to get Duncan Robinson hot early. And, of course, Jimmy Butler is going to have to play the game of his life. He's going to have to have a game two for the ages. And also a Caleb Martin. Caleb Martin was nowhere to be found in game one. Caleb is going to have to make a big difference in game number two. So Miami, takeaways from Miami in this game was this. Bam Adebayo was strong offensively. Gabe Vincent was really good, but they're going to need Jimmy Butler to step up. They're going to need Caleb Martin to step up. They're also going to need Max Strus and Duncan Robinson to step up as well. And they're going to have to continue to get consistency from Hayward Highsmith in game two like they did in game one. You know about Eric Spoelstra, head coach of the Miami Heat, one of the greatest coaches of all time, and certainly he's somebody that's going to bring it. He's somebody that will definitely make the adjustments offensively, defensively, and on the rebounding side as well in order for Miami to have a chance in this series and to tie it up at one game apiece. All right, so that's the deal for my top three storylines. And also, you know, every year the NBA has a State of the League address before the start of the NBA Finals. And Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, has been really in the forefront for really since the month of March when the whole Ja Morant situation went down. Of course, Ja got in trouble for the second time with displaying a handgun on a social media website on his friend's Instagram page. And Ja was suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies for the second time. And NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has yet to make a decision on the Ja Morant situation. And again, as I stated before the NBA Finals, there's always a State of the League address just in terms of what's going on with the league and possible relocation and things of that nature. Here's Commissioner Silver talking about the Ja Morant situation.
So in assessing what discipline is appropriate, if that's the case, we look at both the history of prior acts, but then we look at the individual player's history as well. And so that and the seriousness, of course, of the conduct. So those are all things that get factored. It's not an exact science. It comes down to judgment at the end of the day on the part of me and my colleagues in the league office. In terms of the timing, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information, I think, since I was still asked about the situation. I would say we probably could have brought it to a head now, but we made the decision, and I believe the Players Association agrees with us, that it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of the series to announce the results of that investigation. And given that we're, of course, in the off season, he has now been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies indefinitely, and so nothing would have changed anyway in the next few weeks. It seemed better to park that at the moment, at least any public announcement. And my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of that investigation.
All right. So again, that audio is courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA. And you heard NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, again, just giving his thoughts on Memphis Grizzly guard Ja Morant and his current situation. So you heard Commissioner Silver say, again, Morant's been suspended indefinitely still by the Memphis Grizzlies, and the league will make a decision after the end of the NBA Finals. So definitely there's going to be a lot at stake, not just for the league, but most importantly for Ja Morant, just in terms of going forward with the new contract that's expected to kick in this season and also with future endorsements. So definitely a lot to be had with this Morant situation. It's going to be interesting what Commissioner Silver does going forward with Ja Morant at the end of the NBA Finals. Also, before we go to break, again, former Golden State Warriors general manager Bob Myers has decided to step down. And, man, that was a shocker right there. Again, Bob, he had been with the team since 2012, was responsible for bringing that whole championship nucleus together for the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, also bringing in Kevin Durant for those back-to-back championships as well. So certainly that was a shocker right there, because Bob Myers, again, kudos to him for bringing this whole thing together and bringing that championship nucleus together. And, of course, Steve Kerr being in the mix as well. And it's going to be interesting as to why – I should say it's going to be interesting as to where he lands next. Or is he going to take a year off, maybe 2 years off, or maybe he may take 3 to 5 years off and possibly, you know, get back into the NBA or maybe professional sports. But, man, my goodness, that was a shocker right there. But, again, Bob Myers decided to step down this week as president of basketball operations and the general manager of the Golden State Warriors. Again, a great track record of someone, again, responsible for building those great Warriors championship teams. And, of course, he was the two-time NBA Executive of the Year 2015 and 2017, and, of course, responsible for guiding those championship teams for the Warriors 2015, 2017, 2018, and, of course, last year in 2022. So it's going to be interesting going forward what Joe Lacob decides to do with the Warriors in terms of bringing in the next president slash general manager for the Warriors. Of course, Joe Lacob is the majority owner of the Golden State Warriors. It's going to be interesting how that all plays out, how that all turns out. And again, Bob Myers decides to step down as the president and general manager of the Golden State Warriors. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll give you the sounds of the players after game one of the 2023 NBA Finals between the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets. Stay tuned. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
Take pride in your home with the new Swiffer Power Mop. The new Swiffer Power Mop gives you a mop and bucket clean in just half the time, leaving you more time to enjoy your home with the ones you love most. Swiffer is proud to sponsor iHeartRadio's Can't Cancel Pride 2023, an evening honoring the LGBTQ+ community and celebrating organizations creating a more inclusive and equal world. Learn more at can'tcancelpride.com.
And now for my next trick. I will combine the strength of hefty, ultra-strong trash bags with the joyfully clean scent of Fabuloso!
Wow! Smells like rainbows and unicorns!
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Well, that turned out better than when I tried to split my assistant in half.
New hefty, ultra-strong trash bags with Fabuloso scent. So strong, so joyful, it must be magic.
This is the smell of a warm, three-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech!
And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Oops.
Get on top of it before they do. Every 24 minutes, tipped furniture or a falling TV sends an injured child to the emergency room. Preventing tip-over incidents is easy, inexpensive, and only takes 5 minutes. Learn how to secure your furniture and TVs to protect children at anchorit.gov.
Take pride in your home with the new Swiffer Power Mop. The new Swiffer Power Mop gives you a mop and bucket clean in just half the time, leaving you more time to enjoy your home with the ones you love most. Swiffer is proud to sponsor iHeartRadio's Can't Cancel Pride 2023, an evening honoring the LGBTQ plus community and celebrating organizations creating a more inclusive and equal world. Learn more at can'tcancelpride.com.
And now for my next trick. I will combine the strength of Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags with the joyfully clean scent of Fabuloso!
Wow! Smells like rainbows and unicorns!
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Well, that turned out better than when I tried to split my assistant in half.
New Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags with Fabuloso scent. So strong, so joyful, it must be magic.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech!
And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
Take pride in your home with the new Swiffer Power Mop. The new Swiffer Power Mop gives you a mop and bucket clean in just half the time, leaving you more time to enjoy your home with the ones you love most. Swiffer is proud to sponsor iHeartRadio's Can't Cancel Pride 2023, an evening honoring the LGBTQ plus community and celebrating organizations creating a more inclusive and equal world. Learn more at can'tcancelpride.com.
And now for my next trick. I will combine the strength of Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags with the joyfully clean scent of Fabuloso!
Wow! Smells like rainbows and unicorns!
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Well, that turned out better than when I tried to split my assistant in half.
New Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags with Fabuloso scent. So strong, so joyful, it must be magic.
Take pride in your home with the new Swiffer Power Mop. The new Swiffer Power Mop gives you a mop and bucket clean in just half the time, leaving you more time to enjoy your home with the ones you love most. Swiffer is proud to sponsor iHeartRadio's Can't Cancel Pride 2023, an evening honoring the LGBTQ plus community and celebrating organizations creating a more inclusive and equal world. Learn more at can'tcancelpride.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. So let's continue now with our recap of game one of the 2023 NBA Finals between the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets. So the Denver Nuggets take game one, beating Miami 104-93. For the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, another triple-double, 27 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. Jamal Murray had a double-double with 26 points and 10 assists. Michael Porter Jr. had a double-double with 14 points and 13 rebounds. And Bruce Brown also contributed with 10 points. And certainly somebody that was very pleased with his team's performance in game one, and also just mentioning about the adjustments that needed to be made for game two is head coach Michael Malone. Again, Michael, very pleased with this team's performance. Also mentions Nikola Jokic and some of the other players that contributed in the game one. Here's Coach Malone.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things that I liked. You know, to hold that team to 93 points, only 40 from the field, 33 from the three-point line, which is below their 39% in the playoffs. And probably the most impressive defensive stat was only two free throw attempts. I think we got there 20 times, and, you know, Jimmy Butler is one of the best in the business at getting to the foul line. So two free throw attempts, I thought our guys did a great job of defending without fouling. And to your point, I felt for three quarters our defense was where it needed to be. Fourth quarter, 60% allowed, 30 points. And I think it's, as I told our players, you know, we're up 1-0, that's great, but we have to close games out. We're up 21 to start that fourth quarter, and they open up with a quick 8-0 run. Turnover, layup. We miss a few open shots against the zone, give up some threes. So in the finals, man, you can't pick and choose when you want to play. We got to play much closer to 48 minutes. Well, that was one of my last messages to our group before the game. You know, I reminded our group, if they didn't know, that Miami went into Milwaukee and won game one. They went into the Garden in New York City and won game one. They won game one up in Boston. So we did not want them coming in here taking control of the series on our court. To your point, we've done a hell of a job all season long of protecting our home court. I don't think we've lost a game at home in the playoffs as of yet. And we know Sunday night's going to be a hell of a challenge. So proud of our guys for going out there and getting the win. Michael Porter, double-double. Jamal Murray, double-double. Nikola, triple-double. I felt Aaron Gordon's play on both ends of the floor in that first half really set the tone. And I thought Bruce was really good off the bench. You know, so this was everybody stepping up, doing their job, but knowing that we can all be a lot better come Sunday. Yeah, I think Aaron, you know, we always talk about Nikola embodying, you know, Nuggets culture. And I think Aaron Gordon is, you know, a prime example of somebody who is truly selfless. He understood with Jamal Michael coming back this year, being healthy, that his role was going to change. He never once fought it. He's embraced it from day one of this season and gone out there, whether it's guarding Karl-Anthony Towns, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and now obviously guarding guy like Jimmy Butler. He does a lot of the dirty work for us, and a lot of times, you know, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. And they were switching early on, and I felt he was really big in terms of sitting down in front of the rim, scoring in the paint, finishing at the rim. And then again, just, you know, his effort on the defensive end was just another example of his importance to our group. Well, you got to read the game. You know, if you're giving up tough mid-range contested twos, you know, that's better than them getting a lot of open threes. Obviously, we can do a better job of contesting some of those mid-range shots that Bam was getting. And then I think we have to mix up our levels. You know, to your point, you know, Kyle Lowry, Gabe Vincent, they hit a couple of pull-up threes. And, you know, I was imploring our guys, imploring Nikola to be up higher. And when you do that, now Bam gets behind you, and you have to trust your low man and trust your weak side help. And in that fourth quarter, I felt once we were at the level, I thought we had some pretty good examples of helping on that role and disrupting their offense. I felt Aaron really kind of set the tone on both ends of the floor for us. And he's done that all year long, you know, whether it's in transition versus a cross match, sitting down, posting up a smaller guy, sealing him in the paint, going up strong. They switched a few of the pick and rolls early, sitting down, posting up, finding him, and then giving us a great defensive effort against, you know, arguably, you know, one of the best players in the NBA right now in Jimmy Butler. So, Aaron, like we're a team. You know, and give Bam Adebayo credit. He did a really good job of making Nikola's catches hard. He fronted him a lot in that first quarter throughout the game. And so we need the other guys to step up. And if you're going to take away Nikola, then find a way to get somebody else open and let them get off. And Aaron obviously benefited from that and did a hell of a job.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA and the Denver Nuggets. So you heard Denver Nuggets head coach Michael Malone speaking to the media after game one and talking about not just Nikola Jokic, but everyone playing their part in this victory in game one. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon. He mentioned about singing the praises of Aaron Gordon, specifically getting it done on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, and everyone just contributing. And they're talking. And Coach Malone also mentioned that don't sleep on the Heat. He's not sleeping on the Miami Heat because they know they're a tough team. They know it. He knows that they're a team that is, they're no nonsense. He mentioned about Jimmy Butler, also mentioning about Bam Adebayo. And so he also mentioned about how well coached the Miami Heat is with their head coach, Eric Spoelstra, but Denver Nuggets head coach Michael Malone at the end of game one. And let's stay with the Nuggets and Jamal Murray. Here's Jamal at the end of game one.
Something we've been working on, just bouncing back after runs, timeouts, locking back in. So thought we did a good job of just executing after they went on runs. Because we have a big goal in mind. You can't dwell on the negative. You know, if they're playing well, you gotta just do better and be in a better mindset to do it. You can't hang your head every timeout. So thought we did a good job. You know, after timeouts, just coming in locked in. No matter what they do, just executing and. You know, playing the way we play. That's just the way he plays the game. If the teams are rolling, I mean, that's just how you play basketball. If everybody else is scoring, then there's no need to force it. You know, he's a great passer, great facilitating. They're digging, they're doubling, they're trying not to let him score. So he's just playing the game, and other guys are playing well. That's just the way he plays. You know, just let the game kind of come to him. I mean, yeah, he's a heavy guy. He's gonna get boards and rebound the ball and just be physical down there regardless. So even if he's not shooting well or not scoring, no, he's still a load down there. Yeah. I think we do a good job defensively, just flying around, being on the string, not just tonight but all playoffs, all season. You know, you can't be the number one seed with just offense. You know, that's hard to do. So Jokic has great hands down there. KCP is aggressive. Bruce is one of the best defenders. AG is one of the best defenders. So we got a lot of guys. You know, CB is we don't think he's a rookie. You know, so we got a lot of guys that can come in and impact the game on defense and do a lot better than you think. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we're just reading the game. If they take the pocket away, then we're looking somewhere else. If they take me away, then we're looking somewhere else. If you know what I'm saying. We're just trying to find the open man, find the best shot, find the mismatch. And I think we do that throughout the game. So it's hard to guard everybody instead of just one or two guys. We make you have to be locked in on defense throughout the game. And I think tonight was just a great example of, you know, it could be anybody's night and anybody's quarter, maybe not your quarter. So that's just Nuggets basketball. It was cool. Finals, Eastern Conference. First round, second round, we just want to win a championship. Doesn't matter what series. I think it's just fluent, beautiful basketball. When we're just balls hopping and we're playing off each other, you know, you can have a great game with only five shots until the fourth. You know, it's just it doesn't make any reads on the basketball court. And I think that's what the beauty about this team is we have so many different weapons and so many different looks. Like I said, you got to guard everybody. It's Jokic dominated with. Until the fourth quarter, and it didn't even feel like it, you know. So, it's free-flowing, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA and the Denver Nuggets. So you just heard Denver Nuggets guard Jamal Murray just talking about game one and what they needed to do to get the win. And he also mentioned that again, what Coach Malone was saying about Miami, you know, he says Jamal knows that Miami is a tough team, and he knows what they can bring to the table. They're well coached and they're very competitive. And Jamal also talked about Nikola Jokic, just talking about what he brings to the table and helping out in the victory, securing game one for the Nuggets, and also mentioning about the other contributors in game one's win. And speaking of the Joker, here's Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic at the end of game one.
To be honest, I felt a little excitement, but when the game started, it was just a normal game. And I told my wife, I just cannot wait the game to start, just to feel normal, you know. To be honest, I don't decide. I just take what the game brings me, you know. AG had an amazing first quarter. He dominated the paint in the first quarter, and I was just feeling like that's the advantage, you know. We need to give them the ball, and he actually scored. He was 6-for-6 in the first quarter, and I never chase scoring or whatever. I just play the game and see what's going to happen. To be honest, we didn't even talk about it. I think we know as a team that we are capable for doing something. Actually, since day one, since the training camp, it felt something different in the locker room. You know, the guys were talking, the guys were going out to dinners, we were hanging out together. And I think that's important for the locker room, for the team chemistry. And from day one, something different happened from the last 8 years. To be honest, I'm not excited. To be honest, I'm really focused because I know what they're capable of. They're Miami. They beat some really good teams. The teams that had better record than us, and we as a team we are not relaxed. It's really important win for us, especially because they won the first game in every round, and we just as a team we have a huge respect for the Miami Heat. And our focus and our mentality is not to relax, it's just to get better. I think it's Shaq. To be honest, back in Serbia, I didn't follow the NBA that much. We know Pajan and Vlade Divac because they were and Dražen Petrović, they were like the one who first went to NBA and opened the doors for every other, let's say, European players or players from ex-Yugoslavia. But when I came here, it was Timmy Duncan, it was LaMarcus Aldridge, it was Boris Diaw, Dirk Nowitzki, you know, those kind of guys. Not a bad player. To be honest, I don't know, but I know a lot of, I get messages and I people from back home telling me that people getting organized and watching games in the 2-3 in the morning. Right now in Serbia it's like 4 in the morning and still they're watching the game. And I think that just shows that probably they love to see someone from their hometown, let's say, playing and performing on a high level.
That audio was courtesy of the NBA and NBA TV. So that was Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic at the end of game one, just talking about how his players contributed to the victory, specifically talking about Aaron Gordon and that monster first quarter that he had. Also just talked about some of his heroes that he modeled his game after. He talked about some great Serbian players, or when it was the former Yugoslavia, talking about Vlade Divac and the late great Drazen Petrovic. Just for those of you out there that may not know about Petro, man, Petro was one heck of a player, one of the greatest shooters of all time. And certainly Nikola was just talking about how he was influenced by Vlade Divac and the late great Drazen Petrovic. And then, of course, also talked about Boris Diaw and just talked about some of those guys. And he admitted that he didn't follow a lot of NBA early on, but was more drawn into the EuroLeague, specifically a lot of those Serbian players that he mentioned in the audio. And he also mentioned at the beginning of the soundbite, he just talked about how he told his wife he couldn't wait to get out there. And certainly, you know, Jokic, he looked good, got off to a rocky start in the beginning, but he was able to find his groove and paid off big dividends to get a triple-double. And he joins Jason Kidd as the only players with the triple-double in an NBA Finals debut. So certainly Nikola Jokic, again, he's been making big contributions since he's been a member of the Denver Nuggets, and he made big contributions in the game one victory. All right, let's go over now to the losing side now, and here's Miami Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra at the end of the game.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to go to school on it. You know, they're in a pretty good rhythm, you know, especially in that first half. Our disposition, the multiple efforts, the resolve in the second half was much better. But, you know, you get to this level, it has to be complete games of that kind of disposition. And even if you have that, you're not always going to win, you know, all the possessions that you want. But that's what you expect. You don't expect it to be easy when you get to this final round. This is a great challenge. It's going to require more. We'll get to work and you know, see what we can do better, what we can do harder, what we can do with more effort, what we can do with more focus, et cetera. Yeah, that's you know, what we need from everybody, you know, regardless of when you're coming into the game, how many minutes you're getting, those inspiring minutes. And that's what our team is about, you know, having a roster of guys that just come out there and you're making great efforts, you're impacting the game, and it inspires the next guy to do it. We need more of those kind of things. But he's kept himself ready, and those are good minutes for sure. Yeah, we had some good, clean looks from the three-point line. Then we had some – we had too many possessions where we didn't work it to get the possession on our terms. But, you know, you have to credit them, you know, with their size and really protecting the paint and bringing a third defender. Things have to be done with, you know, a lot more intention and a lot more pace, a lot more detail. You know, we're an aggressive attacking team, and so if we're not, you know, getting you know, those kind of opportunities, you know, at the rim or at the free throw line, you know, we have to find different ways to be able to do it. No, they're fine. I mean, this is they're not going to get sick at sea. You know, if they're shooters, you're not always going to be able to make all the shots that you want. You know, then you have to find different ways to impact the game. Our game is not built just on the three-point ball. You know, that we've proven that time and time again. We can win games, we can win series, regardless of how the three's going. But we also have ignitable guys. You see a couple go through, that all of a sudden can become an avalanche. So, one way or another, we got to find a way to get the job done. I thought he had some good opportunities, you know, right in his sweet spot, and then also some opportunities at the rim. And then I thought some of the detail with our spacing, the pace, the intention of our offense kind of got us jammed up. You know, it always kind of could look different. You know, if a few of these threes go down at the right time, a few of the layups, you know, right at the rim, or the short ones go down at the right time, that also can kind of change your perspective or tenor of how you think things are going. But we do need to do things better. I think that part is clear. It's different. And, you know, that's what you expect going into this series. You know, they're passing and cutting game, but also they're an aggressive team, you know, and so are we, you know. And I didn't even look at the box score yet, but like I said, I think the disposition, the efforts were more appropriate in the second half, but that's not enough. It has to be for a full game, and you also have to make some plays when you're beat, you know. The plays in between, it's not always going to happen perfectly. It's not always going to happen based on the scheme. You know, that's the nature of our team, is we find a way to compete and overcome whatever it is. And we need a lot more of that, you know, in game two. Been through this before. Like, they're ignitable. You know, they've heard it from us, and they'll hear it from us. But I love those looks, you know, that those guys get. Man, I love it when they see a couple, two or three go down. That can turn into five or six. But I also love it, you know, that toughness and grit, that we don't have to depend on that. You know, we can find different ways and different solutions to get a win.
All right, that audio is courtesy of the NBA and the Miami Heat, and that was Miami Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra at the end of game one. Again, he just talked about the adjustments that need to be made for game two, tightening up on the defense, being more open on the offensive side. He noticed that there were a lot of jump shots, but he said that those adjustments will be made for game two. And you talk, again, we mentioned him at the beginning of the broadcast about just being one of the greatest head coaches of all time in NBA history. And you know, Eric Spoelstra, any loss that happens, adjustments will be made. They're going to watch this. They're going to look at the film. Eric, along with his assistants, including Caron Butler, they're going to look at things. They're going to tighten things up on the defensive side as well as the offensive side. He just talked about how Denver came in. It was just so fluid from start to finish with Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., just to name a few. So head coach Eric Spoelstra will make those adjustments for game two. And speaking of adjustments, Miami Heat players Jimmy Butler and Gabe Vincent, they talked about what adjustments need to be made for game two, amongst other things. Here's Jimmy and Gabe at the end of game one.
Oh, great. I think everybody felt great. Missed some shots, didn't get back a little bit, but overall, I feel like everybody's win was good. Everybody was moving well. We just lost the game.
I mean, they're a physical group, and I think we had to adjust to their physicality early, especially myself. I mean, they had a couple layups on me early that we had to adjust to. But, you know, it's a long series. First to four wins, adjustments will be made, and we'll learn from this loss. I mean, I got a lot of hair on my head, so my head's doing all right, thankfully. But they're a good team. They're well coached. They're talented. You know, it's going to be a challenge. It's the finals. You know, we don't expect it any other way. We're looking forward to game two.
I definitely think they came out with a lot of physicality, and we have to be able to match that. They did their job on the home floor. You have to say that, but we will be ready. Like he said, we will adjust, do some things very differently, and come out here and be ready to get one for game two. Probably because we shot a lot of jump shots myself, probably leading that pack instead of putting pressure on the rim, getting layups, getting to the free throw line. You know, when you look at it during the game, they all look like the right shots, and I'm not saying that we can't as a team make those, but got to get more layups, got to get more free throws. And whenever you miss and don't get back, the game gets out of hand kind of quickly. We gave up too many layups, which we also can't have happen. But that's it as a whole. We got to attack the rim a lot more, myself included.
I mean, he's talented. He's an MVP. You know, he's going to make plays. He's going to be great at times. We just got to continue to make it difficult. You know, be physical with him when we can. Like we mentioned, take away the layups, try to take away these cuts, and, you know, attack him on offense. I mean, Jamal's a talented player. He can score in a number of ways. I think one of the things that makes him difficult to guard is when he gets off the ball. And then you got to deal with the cuts, and he's circling back, and they know they're looking for him. You know, so when he's off the ball, you already know the ball is going to end up in his hands at some point. You know, he's a dynamic scorer. He poses threats in different ways, and he's relentless. So it'll be a tall task, and we'll continue to work at it.
And for me, yeah, you got to attack and attack everybody, not just one individual. I have to do a better job of creating the help, one, two guys, and getting it to my shooter, otherwise finishing at the rim, making shots. But we missed a lot tonight, and we'll be better in game two at the end of the day. That's what it is, so we'll take this, we'll learn from it, and we'll be back in 2 days.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA and the Miami Heat. So you heard Miami Heat players Jimmy Butler and Gabe Vincent. Just at the beginning of the audio, Jimmy was asked about the altitude of Denver, and he said, and one of the reporters had asked him, did the altitude have any effect on him and his team in the loss of game one? And Jimmy said, no, he felt fine. Everything was good to go. They just didn't have it. They just didn't have the game plan executed for game one. And same thing with Gabe Vincent. Gabe had said that, no, he felt fine. The altitude had nothing to do with it. They're going to be ready and make those necessary adjustments for game two. And also both gentlemen just talked about being more versatile on the offensive side, attacking the rim, not living and dying by the three-pointer or living and dying by the jump shot. They want to spread the offense out, make it more versatile. They want to attack the basket and try to cause fouls and to get to the free throw line more often for game two. Also, they talked about Jamal Murray and his play. They talked about Nikola Jokic. They just talked about Denver's team as a whole and how well-coached they are and how competitive they are. And they, again, just Jimmy and Gabe just sharing the same sentiments as they prepare and make those adjustments to going into game two. And also, somebody that was one of the bright spots for game one for the Miami Heat was center Bam Adebayo. Here's Bam at the end of the game.
I feel like early in the game, miscommunications caused a lot of our guys to, you know, not talk enough, miscommunications, and a lot of guys were open in the first half. And I feel like going into the second half, we definitely got better with the cadence and talked through it more. I honestly don't think that was a part of the game anyway. I didn't even think about the altitude until you just said it. But the biggest thing is I just feel like we just missed open shots. We took care of the ball. We got it where it was supposed to go. We just missed shots today.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA and the Miami Heat. So the altitude, of course, is really the big topic and the big storyline of this year's NBA Finals, with Denver being the home team for the first two games. And like you heard what Bam said, he didn't think about the altitude until it was mentioned to him by one of the reporters during the end of the game press conference. But Bam was just saying that he felt like he played well, but he was just saying that the communication wasn't there and it's got to improve for game two. Also, the shot selection's got to get better for game two. Also, just continue to be more aggressive on the offensive side, attacking the ball and, again, making the most of your shots, not missing any shots. And Bam was just touching about what went wrong in game one and looking for adjustments to be made in game two. And certainly, again, if you know about head coach Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat as a whole, you know that they're going to be ready and they're going to be locked and loaded for game two. But in the meantime, game one is complete and the Denver Nuggets beat the Miami Heat 104-93, giving Denver a 1-0 series lead. So again, for the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic had a triple-double with 27 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. Nikola becomes the second player alongside Jason Kidd to be the only players with a triple-double in their NBA Finals debut. So again, Jokic, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. Jamal Murray, double-double, 26 points, 10 assists. Aaron Gordon finishing with 16 points. MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., 14 points, 13 rebounds. And Bruce Brown finished with 10 points. On the losing end for the Miami Heat, Bam Adebayo, a double-double, 26 points, 13 rebounds. Gabe Vincent, 19 points. Hayward Highsmith coming off the bench scoring 18 points. Jimmy Butler finishing with 13 points. And Kyle Lowry finishing with 11 points. So again, the final score in game one of the 2023 NBA Finals. The Denver Nuggets, 104. The Miami Heat, 93. All right, before we get on out of here, the Boston Celtics have made it official that head coach Joe Mazzulla will return to the team next year. So again, Joe Mazzulla will return next season as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Of course, Joe, during the regular season in his first year as the head coach of Boston, had a regular season record of 57 wins and 25 losses. Coming in as the number two seed in the playoffs, unfortunately losing in a tough seven-game Eastern Conference final series against the Miami Heat. But Coach Mazzulla will be back next season as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. And that's going to do it for this edition of At the Rim. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great one.
And now for my next trick. I will combine the strength of hefty, ultra-strong trash bags with the joyfully clean scent of Fabuloso!
Wow! Smells like rainbows and unicorns!
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Well, that turned out better than when I tried to split my assistant in half.
New hefty, ultra-strong trash bags with Fabuloso scent. So strong, so joyful, it must be magic.